following is a recording of the Just Desserts Mystery Fiction Discussion Group meeting from October 25th, 2019. During this final meeting of 2019, the group members discussed the entire Philip Marlowe series as written by Raymond Chandler, American novelist. The novels were The Big Sleep, 1939, Farewell, My Lovely, 1940, The High Window, 1942, The Lady in the Lake, 1943, The Little Sister, 1949, The Long Goodbye, 1953, and Playback, 1958. Also included were two short story collections featuring Marlowe stories, The Simple Art of Murder, 1950, and Trouble Is My Business, 1951. All group members read different novels, so as the microphone is passed from person to person during this meeting, you'll hear discussions of various novels in this series. If you're interested in the Philip Marlowe novels of Raymond Chandler, in addition to listening to this recording, you'll find the handout that was given to group members available in our Just Desserts archive on the Book Guide website. That handout includes additional titles by other authors that continued the Philip Marlowe series. All right, welcome to Just Desserts for October 2019. Our theme for this month is the Philip Marlowe novels written by Raymond Chandler, of which there were seven novels and two short story collections. One of those two short story collections basically takes stories that Chandler wrote featuring other detectives who were basically carbon copies of Philip Marlowe, and he basically changes the name to Philip Marlowe for all the character appearances in those stories and reprinted them as a Marlowe collection. The second collection features some Marlowe stories, some essays by Chandler about the writing of mysteries, and does feature some Marlowe content. So with that in mind, we have asked basically everybody to read any of the Philip Marlowe novels or collections, and offer up their name, what book they read, and what they thought of it, and I will start. I will remind people who maybe have not followed Just Desserts before that we did The Big Sleep many years ago, so that was the only Marlowe that I have read prior to now. For this particular meeting, I didn't want to take anything away from the library shelves that people might be trying to get their hands on, so I went to Barnes & Noble, and they had only two books in stock currently, one of which was The Long Goodbye, and I have seen video versions of The Long Goodbye, which I enjoyed, so I decided I would finally get around to reading that. I'm sure that there will be people around this table who are not Raymond Chandler fans and didn't care for what they read, but this is one of the best books that I've read in years. I just absolutely adored The Long Goodbye. Despite the fact, and I basically just had to put myself in the mindset of the fact that this was written in a particular time period, and so there were some racial things, there were some things about gay folks, which were not complimentary, but it wasn't necessarily even Marlowe as a character that was behaving that way towards those kinds of people. It was just the world in which it was set and the other characters that he was interacting. I tried to discount that so I could look at it as a broader picture, and I found the writing to be exceptional. I had, like I said, only read The Big Sleep prior to this, which was the only exposure I really had to the character, but I was just sucked into that character and his world within the first 10 pages and could not put the book down myself. I really enjoyed it very much and now have every intention of trying to track down the rest of the Marlowe collection, since there are literally only seven novels to read in the first place. So the capturing of the time and sense of place was really strong. The descriptive text was excellent without being overwhelming, in my opinion. I know that there was a lot of description, but I didn't ever feel like with many other authors, like I was just drowning in description of what was going on, as opposed to the standard show, don't just tell kind of concept. So personally, I would definitely read more of Raymond Chandler, and specifically the Marlowe ones. I actually have one other non-Marlowe in my collection, which is he did the screenplay for the film The Blue Dahlia. And I have actually seen that portions of that and now really want to go back and reread the screenplay. Of course, when you're dealing with a screenplay, you're dealing with a situation where he's basing it on somebody else's work. He's not necessarily necessarily completely original for himself. And of course, that's not a Philip Marlowe story to start with. But nonetheless, he was a talented guy. He had some real issues towards the end of his life. In the case of The Long Goodbye, it's a very dark novel. Some people call either Farewell, My Lovely or The Big Sleep his masterpieces, but I've seen several critical reports that said The Long Goodbye is really considered by most serious literary critics of the genre to be his best work. He himself was going through some emotional stuff at the time that it was written. His wife was in the process of passing away from a lingering illness, and he himself was battling depression and suicidal tendencies. And so two of the characters in The Long Goodbye are basically very thinly veiled versions of him himself. One of them is a struggling alcoholic writer. Gosh, I wonder what Raymond Chandler was. And the other is somebody who's got some relationship issues that he's having to try to work out. And Raymond Chandler was going through both of those at the time. And essentially, his agent had him have him rewrite several sequences because it was just not up to his par. But in the end, I think it was a work that came out fairly well. So that's my opinion on The Long Goodbye.
I'm Carolyn, and I read The Lady in the Lake. And this is the first Raymond Chandler book I've read. The thing that struck me most were the descriptions. Sometimes lengthy, page or two long, but interesting. And since it takes place in the Los Angeles area, Southern California, and I had been out there many, many times because my grandparents, aunts and uncles lived in the Los Angeles area, a lot of it was familiar to me. So his descriptions back in the day were a little bit like what I remembered California to be long ago. Not quite as early as what he was writing, but let's go back to the 50s. Basic story is that Marlowe is trying to track down a missing wife for Kingsley. Supposedly, she has run off to get married in Mexico to Chris Lavery, but he's in town and the wife isn't. So Marlowe goes to interview him and try to find out what's going on. Goes up to the cabin they have in the woods, talks to Bill Chess, who's a neighbor. And while they're up there talking, they go down to the lake and discover a body in the water. And they assume it is Bill Chess's wife, who left him after they'd had a big fight. And then from there, chasing down all the odds and ends and strings of the story until we get to the end and discover the body in the lake was not who we thought it was, but it's the missing wife. I'll give you that. And who did it? I'll leave that one to you to find out.
My name is Ida, and I read The Big Sleep. It was very descriptive, and he seemed to have a lot of conversations with himself, kind of explaining what was going on. It reminded me of a series that used to be a long time ago, like maybe in the 60s. It was a detective series, and so it was okay. I don't know if I'd read another one, but it was basically he was trying to track down some information on a blackmailing that was being a wealthy individual in California. One of his daughters was being blackmailed, and he was just basically trying to find out who was blackmailing him and why. And he gets involved with the other daughter and her issue with her husband who disappeared. And they think he ran off with another gangster. They think they ran off together, and then they find out later that they did not, that she's still alive, hiding out. But they do end up finding the husband. But it was okay. I don't know if I'd read another one. But.
My name is Kathy, and I read The High Window. I wanted to pick one of the ones I didn't have any familiarity with, either through the movies or anything else. And so that narrowed it down to The High Window and The Little Sister. And I really did like The High Window. And as it says, it's about a wealthy widow with a mean streak, which is putting it mildly. The lady's a piece of work. And even when Marlowe tries to tell her she has to talk to the police, she's like, No, I don't. You know, I don't have to, and I don't want to. And she's twice widowed. She has a son, and her last husband had a coin collection that was very valuable, and she brings Marlo in because one of the coins is missing, and she believes that her son's wife, who she does not like, did not approve of, she believes that that woman took off with the coin, and he begins investigating, and that's not what happened. It gets pretty complicated with murder and blackmail and all kinds of things going on, but of course, being Marlo, he figures it out at the end and shows a soft spot by taking someone who's been fairly mentally abused back to her home in Wichita and driving her home to her parents.
My name is Rayma, and I chose Farewell, My Lovely, mainly because I am a classic film buff, and I'm very, very fond of the two film versions. The first one was actually called Murder, My Sweet, and starred Dick Powell, of all people, as Marlowe. When I first saw this, I thought, oh, my gosh, this can't be. And I actually thought he did a great job as Marlowe. He had started out as a song and dance man in Busby Berkeley movies, which are light and bubbly and weird and turned into a really pretty good dramatic actor. So anyway, that's one of my favorites. And then who can not like Robert Mitchum as Marlowe? I mean, he's just kind of the quintessential Marlowe, in my opinion. Anyway, this particular book has a lot of things going on. It's very well written. It moves right along. My favorite character is Moose Malloy, who is a huge guy, just very, very solid and scary and also very dumb. And he is looking for his ex-girlfriend, Velma, that he knew before he went into the prison system. And he expects Marlo to find Velma. Well, Marlo's not real crazy about this because he's not real crazy about Moose. But Moose is kind of like having gum on your shoe. You can't get rid of him. So anyway, throughout this whole book, Moose Malloy shows up at sometimes opportune and sometimes inopportune times and reminds Marlo that he's supposed to be looking for Velma. And they do find Velma. It's a rather surprising twist ending. And I think I'll leave it at that.
My name's Marley, and I read The Long Goodbye. I really liked all the flawed characters. Everyone had lots of problems and were quite different. And it was a fun read for me. I've read all of the books at different times, but it'd been a long time since I read The Long Goodbye, so I chose that one. And I just like his writing, and I liked all the movies and the TV shows that I've seen. But I thought the book was fun. I loved the old Hollywood type scenes and the old, the way they explained how the furniture was and then the clothes and everything. So I really enjoyed it.
My name's Donna, and I read The Long Goodbye, and this was my first book of Chandler's that I had read. And it was very well written. It's very much, the plots are very much a sign of the times that he lived in. With discriminatory comments and the brutality of the police department as well as everyone else. And like Scott said, Chandler was going through some difficult times when he wrote the book, and that's reflected in his two main characters, Terry Lennox and Roger Wade. Roger was a successful author, but he was also an alcoholic. And Lennox was an alcoholic, and he had physical scars from the war he fought in, while apparently Chandler, who had fought in World War I, had emotional scars from that war. And as I was looking at the book after information afterwards, I found that the book had gotten the Edgar for Best Novel in 1955.
I'm Vera, and I read Farewell, My Lovely, and I was bored to tears. So then I begin to wonder why he's a classic author. So that sort of set me on the trail of critical analysis. And then I started going back to my old Thrall Hibbert and Holman handbook from college, reading about satire and comedy of manners and parody. And I just gave that up, and because I was saved by Virgil Flowers. And that book, Bloody Genius, just came in, and so I turned my attention to that. But I did give this some thought, and this particular book is a hodgepodge of three short stories, and they say you can really tell it. It's Try the Girl, Mandarin Jade, and The Man Who Liked Dogs. And each of the short stories really held together, but when he smooshed them all together, you know, you kind of lose. I got lost. I guess Chandler said that style was the ultimate thing, and I think he kind of lost track of the plot, personally. And I obviously wouldn't be interested in reading more. The only thing, then they kept calling him hard-boiled, and that adjective really bothered me. He's a hard-boiled author. Because I loved Garrison Keillor when he was on the air, and one of his characters was Guy Noir. Do you remember Guy Noir? Yeah. All I could think of is Guy Noir, and then I'd start laughing at the story, and I know that wasn't a good response. So, no, I didn't like it at all.
I'm Joan, and I read the short story of the lady in the lake. The name of the private investigator is John Dalmas, and I love the story. I will read more John Chandler. I really liked it. But I had read Poodle Springs before. Sure. I was bored to death. So, but I will read more of his. So I really liked it.
I'm Jody, and this is the first time I've read Raymond Chandler. I read The Big Sleep. Actually, I'm reading The Big Sleep. I'm not finished with it yet. The author is a master of the metaphor, and so I've been cracking up over some of the descriptions. My favorite so far has been her whole body shivered and her face fell apart like a bride's pie crust. I have been uncomfortable with the violence toward women, and I've tried to remind myself that at the time that this was written, that was not as many people paid attention to that as are aware of it now. So that's something that bothered me. But I do love the description, and I think I would like to read more. Probably it's kind of a mood reading, something when I have some quiet time and I can just get a chance to sink into a book with a lot of description.
Put on some 50s jazz in the background.
Yes, and since it was The Big Sleep, everything that I've been reading, I've been hearing in Bogart's voice in my head when I'm reading through it.
I'm Charlotte, and I'm not a fan of Raymond Chandler, and I couldn't figure out what I was going to read because I didn't want to read any of his books. And then Kathy recommended High Window, and I thought, well, okay, it looks like it's one of his shorter ones, and I could get through it. And I didn't really enjoy it, so I read like five chapters in to get all the characters and what their personalities are like and so forth. And then I went to the end of the book and read the last four chapters to see, you know, how it was all going to come together. And but I was talking with a coworker, and we've decided I don't like them because his characters aren't likable. You've always got the rich matron who is nasty to the servants, and she never likes the daughter-in-law. And you've got the weak son who's into drugs or gambling or can't stand up to his mother, or she doesn't think that he's as good as the father was. On the other hand, she also doesn't like the father either because, You know, you just don't like the whole family and nobody gets along and they're all backstabbing and everybody's got their own little thing going on. You just don't like anybody. So that was my experience with Raymond Chandler. So like you, I went back to one of my other favorite mysteries and said, I got to read this to get rid of Raymond Chandler.
My name is Jenny, and I agree with Vera totally, as usual, and with Charlotte. I wanted to like this. I wanted to try it. I read The Long Goodbye. I started out thinking, well, this might be okay, you know, but I only made a way about third through the book. I'm not a detective fiction fan to begin with, but I will give this, the author credit. He can write a fabulous sentence and put tremendous amount of thoughts and originality into a sentence or a paragraph. So his craft is superb, but I couldn't care less about his characters, and I kept asking myself, is there a plot? Is anything ever going to happen? So I'm afraid I'm not a fan.
Hello, I'm Jeanette, and I've read The Big Sleep, and I read like the first chapter or two, and then for some reason it seemed to me that I was in a Nero Wolf type novel. In I've never been to California, at least not that part of California, but I like the descriptions of the places and things, but the way things kind of moved along and the way people acted was like so stereotypical, I think, of that era, that it kind of put me into that frame that I was in a Nero Wolf type of movie, or I was looking at an old Columbo or something. So it was okay, but nothing for me to jump up and scream about. I might read another one, but it was interesting.
I'm Linda, and I read Farewell, My Lovely. Actually, what I did is I went on YouTube because I kind of ran out of time, and I had this quilt I had to quilt, so I put it on YouTube, and they had the audio of it on YouTube. They also have the movie, the radio version. Actually, there's two movies. And I found that real interesting. And you can watch them all on YouTube, just for your info. I like these old novels like this. I am a fan. I get confused sometimes. And I thought we were going to be reading Dashiell Hammett. He's my all-time favorite. And you know that it's kind of like the same thing in a way, you know. But I love those, and I like this. I like the Perry Mason novels, you know, with James Garner, whatever. I like that whole business. The thing that bothers me the most about them, though, is the references to, like, racial, the way they talk about people that are different, you know, like, Chinese or black or whatever. But that, again, is a sign of the times. And women. Women are always like, man, they're not portrayed very well. They're not. But, you know, we have that. I also look at that and I think, well, we have a lot of power. You know? He made them powerful. What the heck? So, anyway, the other thing that I had read in the Raymond Chandler things, and Scott put it on our little deal here, was the one that was written and it's later on when he was 72 and he was brought back. I wrote it down.
The Lawrence Osborne.
Lawrence Osborne, yes. Lawrence Osborne wrote one. And it's recent. I think it was 2018. But the year of that one, it takes place in 1988. And that book actually was named one of the best books of the year by the New York Times Book Review and NPR. And it was nominated for the Edgar and Seamus Awards. It's really written a lot the same style. It really is. So anyway, thanks.
Okay, my name is Don, and this is for Vera. The subtitle of the one I read is Wouldn't It Be Loverly, because of my Bette Midler comment from me. Remember that, Vera? You got a big kick out of that. Anyway, it actually was Farewell, My Lovely, and I'm also not a fan of Raymond Chandler. I find his style insipid, and I don't find his writing style at all. It's something that can draw me in, and there's no way I'll ever read another one of his.
Don't hold back.
Yeah, there you go. My name is Susie, and I hadn't read the Marlowe novels before, so I read The Big Sleep, the very first one, but we actually listened to it as opposed to reading it. We listened to it in the car. We both thought that we were kind of entering an old black and white movie. That's kind of how it felt to us, that it dwelled on the characters much more than the mystery. Maybe that was because it was the first one. So it felt different from that standpoint. We thoroughly enjoyed the old slang and phrases that we would never think of using anymore. I mean, they kept taking the automatic elevator up. You know, I mean, that kind of thing as opposed to they noticed something. They walked into the apartment and the bed was down. You know, how often do you think of the beds that fold out of the wall? So those kinds of things we found kind of intriguing. But I think I felt a little like Jeanette, that I'd been, you know, taken back in time. And I didn't really like it as a mystery. I just thought it was interesting as kind of a character study and whatever. But we didn't think there was a whole lot of definable plot.
All right. Hi, I'm Ladina. I also read The Lady in the Lake, and I think Carolyn described it to a T. It was very hard to get through. It's very slow going, and there was, like, so many just very descriptive. But I did get a kick out of them calling the sofa the Davenport, because that a term that my grandmother used to use, and as a kid we were so confused what the hell she was talking about. Like, what is the Davenport? And she'd say, go sit on the Davenport. We'd have no idea what the heck she was talking about. But it probably, I would not read him again. But I won't be as mean as Don. Okay, bye.
Could I tag on at the end? Then I went back and read about Chandler's life, and he had a very sad existence. Did you read it in detail about his life?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was torn between his actually British upper class education. His mother was Irish, and his father American, and his father was an alcoholic and left him. So she took him back to Ireland. A rich uncle educated him in private schools, wanted him to be a lawyer, and he didn't want that. So he borrowed money from the uncle to come back to the U.S. He thought he could be a writer. Actually, he liked poetry, too, and performing arts as well. And he didn't manage to make enough money to pay his uncle back. His mother came over to live with him, and he lived with her, I think, until he was in his 40s. He fell in love with a woman 18 years his senior, and his mother didn't approve, so they couldn't marry until his mother died. And then they did marry, and he had a very sad life.
He did.
And I actually think of him as British more than I do American.
Was she wealthy?
The older woman?
No,
she was not.
No, he had to.
And
supported her.
He's actually buried. He's actually buried in England, so he considered himself as much English as anything. So.
I didn't know that.
The one thing I will say, somewhere in Oxford, I don't remember exactly where, but there's a tomb for Raymond Chandler. The one thing I will say, when you think of one of you used the term kind of stereotyped scenario. He's the origin of the stereotype, because everybody else is trying to copy him, so you sort of have to keep that in mind as well.